We're still in Luke 14, verse 27, about bearing your cross. We're still on the word bear and what it means. It's the Greek word bastazo. It means to experience the physicality of, or to take it up. All right, let's go to Acts chapter 15. This is the council at Jerusalem that was meeting about the... Well, let's just read. Let's read it so we get it full. Let's go to start in verse 1. And certain men which were come down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you can't be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them, and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. And when there had been much discussion, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. And he put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt you God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ you shall be saved, even as they. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Anyway, it goes on and on. And they finally came to an agreement with all that the circumcision and other aspects of the law were not a part of the gospel. And in verse 10 is where it says, why put you a yoke upon the back, upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? So the word bear is obvious there, right? All right, let's go to Romans 15. Well, I mean, no, that's not, not 15, I'm sorry. Romans 15, yeah. Huh?
How about bear was spelled B-A-R-E?
No.
No, B-E-A-R.
Bear naked in that.
Bear
is something that's
past tense.
B-A-R-E is naked. B-E-A-R is carrying, or it's also the name of the animal.
Boar. Good to know that. Boar is in past tense.
What?
More past tense than bear.
This one is
where are we going?
Romans 15. Well, it's just gone a whole Well, let's start in Romans 14, verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat or food, now walkest thou not charitably, destroying not him with thy meat or food for whom the Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for a man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith, have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. And because he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth, is not there, because it's not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. So, the whole predicate there, what it means to bear the burdens of the weak, is don't offend somebody just for the sake of your craziness. He that doubteth is damned, because it's not of faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's now Galatians 5. Let's start in verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify unto every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are that are justified by the law, or you are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. Again, he shall bear his judgment because he's troubling you. All right? Now go to Galatians 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. probably, from the standpoint of living as a community, there's no other more important. Bear one another's burdens.
One of the burdens that he talks about.
Something that's a weight. Something that is a weight on you. Something that makes you not light as a feather. Amen?
Yeah. Well, that doesn't say what you're talking about. It's like a burden.
The burden is, let's assume they're alcoholics.
Yeah.
So we don't drink. That would be a burden.
Okay.
Let's assume that somebody has financial problems. Well, we bear his burden. We help him. Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
All right. Now to 6. Well, we just read that. We're still in 6 because we're just going to continue reading. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove or test his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. There nobody can really take your burden away. They can help. What if your burden is unbelief? Then the only thing that can be done is exhortation. Because unbelief, it's not just a burden, it's heresy. When you bear somebody's burden, you don't tolerate them, you take it on. But it could mean what you said. It depends on the context.
It's like laying down alongside, which is exhortation. You don't lord it over, you don't preach sermons all the time. You get down there with them and comfort them.
Amen. All right, and then go down verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. In other words, you're supposed to give me stuff. I'm sorry, I couldn't resist that.
We give you a lot of grief, don't we?
Yeah, that's for sure.
That's communication. That should count for something.
Well, that's enough in there. Let's go on down to
what that really is saying is that we shouldn't just gripe and bitch and complain about stuff with you. We should tell you what we've seen and heard and understood. Or you're sitting up there by yourself, don't know what the heck's being heard or understood. And if that doesn't happen, there's no synapse in this brain.
Right. That's why a Bible study is a dialogue, not a monologue.
Exactly.
That's what. That's the most important thing you can do. Is say what you're thinking.
Yeah, it
really is. You might get teased if you say what you're thinking, but.
No, that would never happen.
All right. Let's get down to verse 11. You see how large a letter I've written unto you with mine own hand. And
wait a second. He can't see, so he's writing really big.
And it's probably the first time he's done that. So it's a big deal. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Now, that's a biggie. We've talked about that one many times.
bear show in the flesh is it's the same word you would use if you were talking about putting on makeup or practicing a role in a play. They that make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be to change, is what it says. Circumcise just means do something different.
Yeah.
Stop doing something. Or
do the law.
No, it's much more subtle.
Behave.
Yeah, if in my case, it's some people are always telling me I should be
nice. Nice.
No, that's good. But Nick is always, what is he saying? He's always saying,
we're getting a great dinner here, but she only serves it on the floor. Picking up the steak off the floor.
Yeah. Anyway, so I mean, that's, you get the gist. They constrain you to be circumcised, lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For they either themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. And again, it's not just cutting off the head of your wee-wee. It's something, it's a behavioral thing, mostly. Like if my mother were here, my grandmother especially, if I put my elbow on the table, that was... They even had a song. Yeah, I mean, I remember when I was a little kid. Everybody, if they saw me with my elbow on the table, kids couldn't sit with the adults. We had to sit in the kids' table, which was in the kitchen. But then everybody started saying, "Take your elbows off the table, old Anthony.
Get your elbow off the table."
Yeah. Well, you've had it done too.
Okay.
You've had it done too.
Yeah.
We just had our elbows sticking off.
All right.
Let me say something about circumcision. There's the law aspect we just talked about, but there's a circumcision of the heart, which is to get rid of the veil or the stuff.
It's to get rid of the need of the praise of men.
Yeah.
That's the way it's defined in Romans 2.
Yeah. But also, it's your heart is sensitive toward God now. It's not protected.
Right.
And love then can take place.
All right, but here we go. But God forbid that I should glory, save or accept it in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature, And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Now, he's talking about what he has suffered for the cross of Christ. He bears in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus.
Last few lines in chapter 6 are about as profound as it gets.
Amen.
Yeah. Very holy.
All right.
To the point. Glory in nothing but the cross.
Revelation 2. First, the church at Ephesus. Chapter 2, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil, and those
and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience for my name's sake, hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first work, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So in verse 2 and 3, thou cannot bear them which are evil. And then in verse 3, and hast borne and hast patience. So, all right. Now let's go to...
I have a question on that. In 7, where it talks about to him who overcometh, will I give to eat the tree of life. Which is to him that overcometh, which is Christ, I will give to no good from evil.
No, but it's to him that has the mind of Christ is what it means. That's the only, again, the only reason we're here is to be transfigured. The only reason way we can be transfigured is to have the mind of Christ instead of the mind of a Gentile.
You're also mixing your trees.
But it's also different trees. Using
this is the tree of life,
different tree.
Not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Good point.
Big point.
So what's life here?
Missed it by that.
Okay, Revelation 17. By his stripes we are healed. That has to go down.
That is one of the
Oh, it's a long story, but one of the people who thought he was going to start doing word studies, and he always got confused. And then he found this, he was doing a word study, and he found that the word, that the cross was, it was the word stipes. And but it wasn't. So it's by his stripes. Well, he thought it was the word stripes in Isaiah 53. By his stripes you were healed. But he looked it up in the Greek language instead of Hebrew, and he had the word stripes for something.
He's all excited about the new discovery.
All right. Revelation 17. Start verse 1, because this is the beginning. There came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with them, saying unto me, come hither, and I will show thee. That's what he always says to John. The angel says, come here, and I'll show you. Show you, show you, show you. I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore which sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-covered beast full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And this is the beast that John saw, it's the beast that Daniel saw, it's the beast that I saw, and it's the beast is you and I. And the whore is sitting on those seven mountains, the seven high places of our mind, controlling you. That's why the mind is gone. Now it's replaced by the mind of Christ. We've made every mountain low.
all the depressed places, even. That's what he's not talking about, taking a bulldozer. He's talking about destroying the seven high places of your mind. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, dressed with everything that man wants. Haman has a golden cup in her hand. Everything that man wants is in that cup. But the cup was full of abomination and filthiness of her fornication. Every one of the 49 gates of impurity, everything we think is good. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon, the Great, the Mother of Harlots, and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. I didn't mean our word for admiration, but he wondered that he saw such an incredible thing. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell in the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life, from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here's the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are the seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. There are seven kings, five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue for a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is the seven, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. They shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for the Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he said unto me, The waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are the people, and multitudes, and nations, and tongues, etc., etc., etc. In verse 7, I will tell thee the mystery of the woman which hath the beast that carrieth her, bears her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. Now, we're not going to go into the details of all that, but right now, I just want you to see that this is the same beast that John sees in chapter 13. It's the same beast that Daniel saw in his vision. It's just looking in the mirror. You've never been an independent self. You're either empty or you're walking according to the prince of the power of the air, the son of a snake. And you can put Jesus' name on you all you want. But unless you have the mind of Christ, there's never going to be sanctification. So the quick thing to do is repent from what you use your mind for. Your mind has always been necessary until you reach the point where the temple is dedicated. Just as the seven mountains, the Ark of the Covenant sat on each one of those for a period of time. But then once the temple was dedicated in Jerusalem at the singular high place, then all worship in those seven mountains, six mountains, is forbidden. All worship simply means give importance to. The waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are people and multitudes and nations and tongues.
Waters represent the people.
The waters always represent the people.
Right.
And maybe you see why total repentance is, and what total repentance is. I pray you do. Oh, it's that's enough to consider. Anybody have any response? Beast that carries her is you.
Yeah.
Until you see that, you'll always justify rebellion. Anybody have anything else? We study the cross tomorrow. Take it, big guy. What it means to bear your cross.
I'll be buried mine in San Francisco.
Take it, big guy.